invite you to now take your Bibles once again and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, where we are going to begin looking at what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And just by way of introduction, as you're turning there, and in case some of you may not have heard the last sermon from Matthew 6, we looked at Jesus' words in verse 5 through 9 as he introduces the topic of prayer. And a few things that we saw last time were, first of all, that this teaching on prayer comes right in the middle of a sermon, one of the greatest sermons ever preached. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and right smack in the middle of it, Jesus teaches his children, his disciples, about praying to the Father. Another thing we noticed was that Jesus assumes prayer will be part of the Christian life. He doesn't say, well, if you're mature or if you're in great need, then this is what you should do. Multiple times he says, when you pray, he assumes that prayer will be a part of the Christian life. He gives a couple warnings against praying like hypocrites, to just be seen by men, just going through the motions. Also, heaping up empty phrases, just praying to repeat things, to thinking that God will hear us because of our many words. He warns against that and calls us to pray with sincerity and with faith, to be heard by the Father, not to be heard and seen by men, but to get with God, to present our requests to him, knowing that he already knows what we need even before we come to him. So we're not telling God anything new. We're not assuming that he'll hear us because we go on and on. God is our Father, Jesus teaches us. And then he goes into the Lord's Prayer, which is both a prayer to be prayed with these very words, as we do as a congregation each week in the morning. But it's also meant to be a pattern for prayer, a guide. Jesus says, pray then like this. And we notice a few things about the prayer from a bird's eye view. There's a preface, which we're going to look at tonight. There's a conclusion, the traditional conclusion that's probably a footnote in most of your Bibles. And then there are six petitions, and we're going to look at each of the petitions one by one. And one final thing that we noted last time was that the petitions start with God and his honor and his kingdom and his glory. And then they move to man and man's needs, man's both physical and spiritual needs. And we noted that order and that balance, because a lot of times our prayer can be really focused on ourselves, and we forget God's glory and God's purpose in this world. And so that's something to note about the order, the intentional order of the Lord's Prayer. So those are a few things we considered last time. Tonight, as I already said, we're going to consider the preface, which is short and sweet, but is loaded. It's very significant, the words that Jesus uses here, our Father in heaven. So I'm going to go ahead and read verse 5 through verse 13. And then I also have a short few verses that I want to read from chapter 7 as well. So let's give our attention now to the Word of God. I'll begin reading at verse 5 of Matthew 6. And there is a simple outline in your bulletin if you'd like to use that. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep your finger there and then flip over. This is in the same sermon to chapter 7, and I just want to read a few verses, verse 7 through 11, where Jesus talks about asking our Father for his care and provision. So chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Let's stop and ask our Father for his blessing as we hear his word. Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus came to earth and fulfilled all righteousness, but that he was also our great prophet, and he preached the gospel to us, and he taught us what it looked like to live as your children. We thank you that he teaches us here in Matthew how to call upon you as our Father, how to trust in you and express that in words and in prayer. And so we pray that you would enable us to hear your word tonight. Give us faith in you. Let us receive your word with faith. We thank you, as we've just sung in Psalm 84, that one day in your presence is better than thousands anywhere else doing anything else. And so as we spend just 1 hour in your presence and this time in your word together tonight, we pray that this would be a wonderful time, and that we might leave knowing that we were in your presence and that we heard from you. And so we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 9, again, Jesus says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Names and titles are significant. We are not in the American South, but the way we address people is important and carries with it a lot of meaning. For example, we address people in authority with respect. When I was playing sports when I was younger, growing up, I was taught to call the official sir, not hey you or hey ref, sir. If you're stopped by a car with flashing lights, you call that man in the uniform officer. We refer to judges as your honor. Other names and titles convey closeness and love, familiarity. Think of terms of endearment or nicknames that we might use for loved ones or close friends. Or think of even the titles son or daughter, mom, dad, husband, wife. Those are not used by everyone, but by close family members, those who are closely related to one another. You see, the way we address people says a lot about our relationship with them, who they are and how we view them. Well, in much the same way, how we address God is very significant, is of greater importance, and conveys who he is, who we think he is, and who we are in relationship to him. And so it's not surprising that Jesus gives us direction as to how to speak to God, how to address God in prayer. And what I hope we'll see together tonight is that we're taught to pray to him in a close and personal and trusting way, as well as with deep respect and reverence for his power and authority. And this is captured in the balanced and carefully chosen and most significant words of the preface, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. With those words, Jesus teaches you to pray with a personal trust and familiarity to our Father as children, and also with reverence and awe to the Almighty God in heaven, our Father in heaven. And so in the very first line, in the very first words here of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus calls you to pray together as children to your Father in heaven. That's what we want to see together tonight. Jesus teaching us to pray together as children to our Father in heaven. Well, our outline tonight as we look at this more closely together is very predictable and straightforward. We're going to consider three simple points, the three parts of this address. We want to think about calling God Father. Then we want to consider the words in heaven, Father in heaven. And then finally, the word our Father in heaven. So that's where we're going together tonight. So let's start by considering how Jesus calls us to call God our Father in heaven. Why call him Father? Jesus says, when you pray, pray to your Father. Call him our Father. Think of him, trust in him, come to him as a child would come to a father. Now, this requires faith. To call God Father requires faith, knowing and believing in this God and his Son. No one can know God as Father and truly call him Father apart from faith in Jesus Christ, apart from his Son. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we need to stop right at the outset as we begin to look at this prayer and make sure we're all clear on one thing. You can't really pray. You can't truly pray. You can't sincerely call God your Father if you are not trusting in Jesus Christ. You can't do this apart from faith in Jesus. If you've not put your faith in Jesus for salvation, you really have no right to God as your Father. You're a sinner still in his sins, in rebellion against him, and you need to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ to save you. And so faith is really the starting point of all true prayer. And this name reminds us of that. And even those who have come to Christ already, or maybe you've been following Christ and trusting in him for years, even you must pray to your Father by faith in Jesus Christ. This is why we pray in Jesus' name. And some people have pointed out, well, Jesus doesn't teach us to conclude our prayer, you know, in Jesus' name. But it's almost implied here with in the preface. God is our Father only because of Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus, he is not our Father. And he has no reason to listen. Apart from Jesus, we are rebels, not children. And so this title, Father, is so significant. There are so many names and titles for God in the Scriptures, so many biblical names and ways to address God. Jesus chooses to use Father. In fact, he refers to God as Father 16 times in this sermon. Maybe a good exercise would be to go read the whole Sermon on the Mount and underline every time Jesus refers to our Father. He wants us to know God, to relate to God, to pray to God as our Father. And that is intentional and very significant because he is only our Father because of the gospel. He is only our Father because he has adopted us as children. We were once children of wrath. We were lost and dead in sin. But as Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, in love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus. John 1 verse 12 says, all who received him, all who believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. And so adoption is a work of God's grace and God's love that brings us into the spiritual family of God. Let us call on him as Father. Now, I want you to imagine that you wanted to speak directly to some high-ranking politician. Let's say maybe a governor or a senator. You wanted to go have a personal conversation with them. Well, there would be multiple layers to go through. You'd have to fill a request form. Their phone number is not generally open to the public. Any number you might find would send you to an office assistant or a secretary. But even if you made your way through all of the layers and all the security and the background checks and you actually got a short face-to-face visit with this important person, you wouldn't know him and he wouldn't know you. And you would call him Mr. Governor or, you know, Senator so-and-so. You wouldn't call him by his first name. You see, you don't have any direct access to him. You don't have a relationship, I'm guessing, most of you, with that person. But what if you were his son or his daughter? That would be a lot different, wouldn't it? You would have his number. And if you needed him, you would call and you would say, "Dad, it's me." And he would get back to you or he would answer as soon as he could. Well, friends, this is the access you have to the God of the universe. But it's even better. You have the right to speak to him. You have 24/7 access to the creator of the universe. And he invites you. He says, "Come talk to me anytime." You don't have to go through secretaries. You don't have to go through priests or pastors. You don't have to schedule appointments. You don't have to be in a special place. I am your Father, and you can call me Father, and you can pray to me at any time and in any place. And God is so far more glorious and powerful than an earthly ruler. And yet he says, "Call me Father. Come to me at any time and call me Father." How can this be? Well, it's because he has sent his only Son to come and die for you and unite himself to you and adopt you as his children, as his heirs, and give you his Spirit, give you all the rights and privileges of sons and daughters. He has made you members of his family and his household. What a privilege. Galatians 4 tells us that at just the right time, God sent his Son to redeem and adopt sinners as his sons. And he has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts so we can call out to him, "Abba, Father." This is why we can, and this is why we ought to address God as Father. We have a right to call him Father. We have direct access to him. You see the significance of this title, this word, Father. If I asked many of our little kids who the strongest person they know is, who would a lot of them say? My kids would have to get this one right. A lot of them would say, "Well, Dad, of course, Dad. He's the greatest. He's the strongest." Well, brothers and sisters, as children of God, you do have the greatest and the strongest Father in the world. And even if you've had earthly fathers that have let you down or have been distant or whom you have not even known, God is a good Father. And he knows you. He loves you. He knows what you need before you ask him. And he's so much better than earthly fathers who even know how to give good gifts, as we read in chapter 7. And so come to him boldly. Come to your Father with confidence in prayer. Ask him for what you need. Trust him as you would a good earthly father to provide for you, to protect you, to forgive you, to teach you, to never give up on you. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, the eternal Son of God, teaches you to come to God in prayer as children to your Father, to crawl up in his lap, as it were, with love for him, with awe in him, with confidence, with trust, with a closeness. Believe in his Son and call him Father. and call him Father in heaven. The preface includes those words, our Father in heaven. And that's where I want us to go second tonight. We've considered the word Father. Now let's look at why Jesus says, call upon him as our Father in heaven. In heaven. Why in heaven? Well, God is not an earthly father. And to remind us of that, to remind us of his divine majesty and his infinite greatness, and to address him with humble respect, Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father in heaven. Now, you kids know that God is everywhere, right? He is an infinite spiritual being. He doesn't have a body like you and I. He can't be in one place like we are. He's not located in one place at one time. And so when we pray to our Father in heaven, we're not so much talking about a place that he is in, because God is everywhere. Now, you're right if you're thinking, yes, he is present in a unique and glorious way in heaven with the angels and the glorified saints and with the risen Jesus. And we should remember his heavenly glory and his heavenly throne when we pray this. But in heaven, in the preface, I think has more to do with God's transcendence and his greatness. It's reminding us that God is not earthly. God is not limited in any way. This reminds us, these two words, in heaven, remind us that he is God. There's nothing physical or earthly about him. And so when you pray to God your Father, you come to him, yes, as your gentle, forgiving, providing, adopting Father, but you also come to him as the all-powerful God in heaven, the God who cannot be contained by the heavens, who is outside of time and space, who sits above and over and outside of the entire created universe. He is infinite and eternal and unchangeable. He is otherworldly. He is heavenly. And it's because he is in heaven and he is everywhere present and he's majestic and sovereign and not limited and earthly like us. It's because of all those things that we pray and we expect him to hear and we trust that he can answer. And we pray with reverence and awe and respect and humility, with faith, because he's both able to hear and answer. Now, you could have the nicest, most loving earthly father in the world who would do anything and everything for you. But in reality, earthly fathers can't do everything. They're limited. They're limited in power. They're limited in wisdom. They can only be in one place at one time. They can't see into your heart. They can't give you a new heart. They can't save you from your sins. They can't make you spiritually alive. They cannot raise you from the dead. They can't give you the Holy Spirit. They can't meet your greatest needs or protect you from your greatest enemies. But God, your Father in heaven, can. He is your Father in heaven. He is none other than the God of the universe, the God of heaven. If he weren't, prayer would be pointless. And this part of the preface, these two words that we might quickly pass over, this way we address God draws our faith to his almighty power and glory. It humbles us and it calls us to approach him with reverence and respect, even as we approach him with confidence and closeness as our Father. Now, approaching him with reverence and respect, I think, is assumed in the title Father. A father is an authority figure who's owed respect. But the words in heaven emphasize this. And so we pray to our Father in heaven. If he wasn't our Father, we would have no right to him, no access to him, no confidence that he loved us and cared for us. And if he wasn't our Father in heaven, If he wasn't the divine, all-powerful creator, he would have no power and ability to hear and answer our prayer. But praise God, he is both. He is both Father and Father in heaven. The Westminster Shorter Catechism highlights this in question and answer 100. It says there, the preface teaches us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence as children to a Father, able and ready to help us. One writer put it this way, fatherly love on the one hand and transcendent greatness on the other are two qualities in God which the rest of the prayer assumes at every point. And so do you see how the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, the preface, strikes the right balance for us between familiarity and fear, confident trust and humble reverence. It helps us pause and remember who God is in all his love and greatness and who we are as his earthly, needy, adopted children. And so, brothers and sisters, pray to your Father in heaven. Well, there's one more part of the preface, and that's the very first word, and it's easy to overlook, but it's the word our. Jesus says, verse 9, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So let's consider third and finally tonight, our Father in heaven. Jesus calls you here to pray together as children to your Father. Now, why do I say pray together? Where's that word come from? Well, it comes from this short but powerful word, our. And Jesus used precise and intentional grammar here, and I'm not just trying to geek out on you, but this word our is a first person plural possessive pronoun. Try to say that five times quickly. A first person plural possessive pronoun, and all of that is important. That means that it claims personal ownership and relationship of the Father. He's not just the Father. He's not a Father. He belongs to us. He is our Father. There's an ownership. But it's a plural, which means he's not just my Father. He is all of our Father. Our stands for more than one person praying. More than one person claiming God as Father. And so the words and the grammar of the rest of the prayer reflect this and confirm this. Listen for the plurals in the rest of the prayer. Our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Not give me this day my bread. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us. You see, Jesus' model prayer is a prayer for his people as a whole, not just for individuals. There's no I or my in it. And this reminds us that we not only belong to God as our Father, but we belong to his family. We belong to each other. There are many, many children of God that call him Father. We have brothers and sisters who are also children of God who need him and love him and speak to him with us. It reminds us that while prayer should be a private practice of individuals, it is and ought to be a corporate practice of God's family together as well. Now, Jesus assumes that we will pray this prayer and that it will guide us in prayer and that it will guide us in prayer with others. And he leads us here to pray with and for others. This plural pronoun reminds us that not only do I need help, not only do I need daily bread, not only do I want God's kingdom to come, but so do all of God's children. It keeps us from being too self-focused, and it encourages us to think of ourselves in relation to the rest of the body of Christ, not as a lone individual before God, but as a family that comes together to our Father. Think about how families do things together. They love one another. They love to speak to each other. They spend time together. They share meals together. They pray together. Well, the same is to be true of the family of God. And this is one of the reasons why we pray a lot in worship together. That is a large part of our worship service, just praying together. This is one of the reasons why we have prayer meetings. This is why we ask one another, how can I pray for you? This is why we would pray together at Bible studies and before meals. This is why we might just meet up just to talk and pray together. This is why again and again we see the early church praying together. This is why healthy, growing churches are always praying churches. They understand their dependence on their Father and each other. They're a family. They're a team. And this is a point that needs to be emphasized today, because we can so easily think and act primarily as individuals or as individual families. Now, of course, we need a personal relationship. We need personal prayer, personal communion with our Father. We need our prayer closet, as Jesus spoke about earlier in this chapter. We most certainly can and should use I and my in prayer, as we see in other parts of the scriptures. But we also need to pray with and for one another, to our Father in heaven. We need to live as a family. And that's easier to say than to do. But it's so easy to isolate ourselves. And hopefully the past year has underlined the importance of fellowship and prayer and presence together as the body. And so, brothers and sisters, find ways to pray together. Take opportunities to pray for and with each other. Tell each other that you're praying for one another. Ask each other to pray together, to pray for you. Ask, what can I pray for? Take opportunities to pray to your Father together. Find a prayer meeting or a prayer partner. Remember, you are part of a family locally and internationally. And Jesus would have you to learn to pray together as children to your Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Well, by now I think all of you have the preface, the introduction to the Lord's Prayer memorized, if you didn't already. Our Father in heaven. And I would encourage you to often slow down and think about and emphasize each word in that preface. Do it out loud or in your mind, and remember the significance of each one. Jesus chose these words intentionally and carefully. Think about each of the parts of this preface as you pray to God. Remember, I am an adopted child of God. He is my Father by grace through His Son, Jesus. He knows me. He loves me. He cares for me that much. And I'm speaking to my Father in heaven, the God who is above all, the God who is outside of time and space and yet cares about me and knows what I need, the God who has none of the limits that I do, who is all-knowing and all-seeing and all-powerful. What a gift. How I should trust Him and humble myself before Him with reverence and awe. What reason to pray and to give thanks and to hope. And remember, I'm not alone. He is our Father. Countless brothers and sisters call Him Father and are walking by faith with me as His children. And I have to love them and pray for them and pray with them. What a privilege. Our Father in heaven. Dear children of God, brothers and sisters, don't skim over these words too fast. Don't pray them out loud without grasping the treasure that they are. Learn from Jesus to speak them and to pray them intentionally with wonder and with warmth and with faith, remembering you can take these words on your lips because Jesus died and rose for you, and pray together as children to your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are reminded of the amazing relationship you have created with us, those of us who are, all of us who were born in sin, who were children of wrath, who have no right in ourselves to call you Father, to be in your family, to have life in your name. And yet through Jesus Christ, you have adopted us. You have called us out of darkness. You've called us to be your children, and you invite us to know you and trust you and call upon you as Father. And that is such an awesome gift that we do not fully take advantage of so often. And Lord, you are also our Father in heaven. You are the great God of the universe, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, full of power, knowing what we need even before we pray to you. Lord, remind us of these things. Call us to faith in you. Let us pray with a greater faith and a greater thankfulness and a greater love for you, because you are our Father in heaven. And Lord, let us pray corporately. Let us remember that we belong to each other, to the body of Christ. And make us more eager to pray with and for each other. Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. We thank you that you have given your life and taken it back up again so that we can call upon God as our Father. And we pray in your name. Amen.